Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today, right? It's good to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Look what you got to look forward to. We're having some fun around this place, and we're going to continue to have fun and get smarter with our good friend John Fox. Now that John Fox is with us, John is, as you know, is one of the professional tax attorneys, financial, just tax attorneys that we have in our brain trust. He is also a professor at Mount Holyoke College in the great state of Massachusetts. He's the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, a book that I told you about before it was a book, and also 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. He's our good friend, John Fox. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. It's great to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. John, before we I want to talk about a little bit about the tax proposals of the various candidates.
All right.
And I know that's what's on your mind, too. But before we do that, help me with another issue here. I am really, really troubled by the political discourse in this country, and I have been now for some time. And I've thought a lot about it, and I've thought about what is wrong. Where's the problem? What's the reason why that we don't seem to be, we seem to just be yelling at each other? We're not even talking at each other anymore. We're yelling at each other, and we're not talking with each other. We're not having conversations. And I think what I've decided is that we're all so committed to being right and to our side being right and in power, that when we're not, that there's no, you know, the other side is just wrong. And I guess what I'm getting at is, if I'm a Democrat and you're a Republican, John, and that's pretty funny, isn't it? But I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, and your person is in power, is in the White House or in Congress or whatever, everything your people, your party does, is it wrong? Everything the Democrats do, is it wrong? Everything the Republicans do, is it wrong? But it seems to me, John, that the people on the other side, how long has it been since you've heard a Democrat or Republican say something about the other side that was complimentary? They say, you know what, that's a good thing that they did. I mean, don't we have to get to that point before we can actually start accomplishing anything, John?
Well,
am I being naive?
You're raising just a fundamental issue. In fact, the other day, Barack Obama complimented Ronald Reagan for his leadership. Not for all of his policies, obviously. Barack would take issue with a lot of them, but for providing real leadership, and he got clobbered by the other candidates.
Oh, yeah.
For mentioning Ronald, but there's a guy who's willing to do it. Let me give you just a bit of
history. That was within his own party.
Within his own party.
Yeah.
It turns out not to be what anybody wants to hear about leadership. There was in the L.A. Times on Saturday a colleague of mine, Joe Ellis, who's written some wonderful books about the Federalists, about the Founding Fathers. He wrote a piece about Barack Obama, which said that a lot of people are criticizing him for his message of hope and conciliation among the all people. Stop talking about just red states and blue states. And he said it's in the true tradition of the Founding Fathers, that in fact they despised parties. They thought of their service for the public, for the people.
Yeah.
And I think what you're getting at is Congress is serving the people, not the parties.
And there should be some leadership, and all that there is no leadership, there's just devotion to ideology.
There is, and I think one of the problems is that it's not the only problem, but it's the suburbanization of America. In fact, when you and I were growing up, workers and owners of businesses and the middle class generally went to the same schools. You lived in communities where we intersected with everybody, and we were connected to them, and they weren't the other. Increasingly today, we don't intersect with others, and consequently, our conversations are just with people like us. And I think that's one of the real contributions to what you're saying, is that we only hear our own voices.
Well, you know, if you and I are going to have a discussion about what we think is good for the future of this country, we can't have that discussion. If I'm a Republican, we can't have that discussion. If you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, if you can't find anything good to say about Bill Clinton, George Bush,
yeah,
and vice versa. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to pick up just a little bit more on this after these messages, and then we're going to talk about the tax policies of the major candidates for president. Stay with us. 22. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're having a great visit with our good friend John Fox. John is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax and 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask by John O. Fox. John, we were talking about...
Incidentally, I'm updating that for the 2008 race.
Oh, good, good. When's the new version going to be out?
Well, I'm just working on it right now. I hope it'll be out by June.
I hope it's out by November.
Oh, yeah, it better be.
Well, let us know, and we'll launch the new version on the show.
Wonderful.
But we're talking about the political discourse in this country. John, if you and I are going to talk about issues and find some kind of solutions, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But we do have the answers together. And when I hear people who, I mean, I guess I understand the political candidates, you know, not being able to compliment the other side. But John, when Bill Clinton was in office, you know, there were things that about Bill Clinton that he did that were pretty bad, pretty stupid. But there were also things that he did that were good.
Sure.
And we should all be able to recognize that. There are things that George Bush has done in office that are pretty stupid and pretty bad. But there also have been some good things that he did. And so we can't, you and I or anybody else can't have an intelligent, productive leadership conversation unless we can both recognize those truths. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right, and if I can just sort of relate it to U.S. tax policy, you have the two sides going at each other, and what happens is that the Democrats yell at the Republicans for just caring about the rich, and the Republicans say that the Democrats have no respect for, you know, what the rich actually contribute, and everybody's really confused about what the role is of people of wealth. It's a very complicated subject. But I have said in my book, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, that if we put true conservatives and true liberals together, that is people without a political agenda, but are really smart and informed about the economic and social and equity issues in the tax laws, they would get together and they would produce an income tax, if you said you had to have an income tax, you weren't abandoning that, that was so simplified with much lower rates. Most people would pay no more than 10%. The top would pay well under 30%, and they could do it. So there's a conversation that you'd like to see on television. It's the very best and brightest.
And what makes no sense is, what I don't get, John, is that the ultimate goal of the income tax is to be able to fund the necessities of the government, right?
And to do it fairly and economically.
So why don't we do that without politics? I mean, why can't we? Are we just so naive, John? I mean, why can't we say, okay, wait a minute, there are certain things that are not, that should be out of bounds of politics.
Well, you know, it would be like the Federal Reserve. I mean, you know, some people have suggested that they really have a group of people, and you know, something like the Federal Reserve, which is pretty much out of politics, which can set tax policy. But of course, the politicians, Republicans and Democrats, have liked. One of the principal things that they run on is that they're going to promise more tax cuts, more special benefits, more deductions, more exclusions. And the American public is like on cocaine when it comes to this stuff. You can't get off of it. We've so induced everybody to like their tax relief that they don't understand that overall we have a slower economy because of it, and they're not better off in the long run. Most people are not better off.
Well, now, John,
in the long
run. I disagree with you on that. I don't think we have a slower economy because of tax cuts.
Well, I'm talking about all of the provisions in the tax laws that give relief for one thing after another.
See, you go back. See, the thing, folks, you need to understand about John, when he's talking about tax reform, he's talking about everything, including the mortgages, the mortgage deduction, right, John?
Yeah, I'm not eliminating all of it. I'm not eliminating it overnight. But if you talk about...
But nothing's out of bounds for you.
Nothing is out of bounds. I mean, the fact is, the mortgage interest deduction, which is sacred, the bottom half of all taxpayers, who are the people that you know, at least a number of whom you want to buy houses, they
right.
get about 2% of the tax savings. The top 2 or 3% get over 20% of the tax savings. So most of the mortgage interest deduction is going, the benefits of it, which are huge, they're about $70, $80 billion a year, go to people who could buy a house without it. I would just say that if you're going to give relief for housing, focus on helping people who can afford to buy a house but simply need some assistance in doing so, who can manage the mortgage. Now, obviously, we're going through a complicated period here, but the focus should not be on high-income houses.
But, John, I think the current candidates for president are smart enough not to try to deal with the housing issue, the mortgage deduction issue. Which one of the candidates on the Democrat side do you think has the best tax policy?
I don't like any of them. I don't like any of the policies. See, my problem is the general rhetoric is that of the Democratic Party, which I believe is true, is that there is this growing income inequality in the United States, and it's really huge. I mean, in the past year, we just got the 2005 result, and the top 1% got increases of about $180,000. The middle income got $400.
It's an issue that
needs to be addressed.
Hold on to that thought, John. Tintill, I'm Jim Blassingame. Right back with John Fox. Stay with us.
Smiling inside.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend John Fox, the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. And John, that's available wherever books are sold, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And your own website is johnofox.com?
.org.
.org. johnofox.org, folks. Check that out when you get a chance. John, quickly, as we talk about... I consider this, there'd only be two candidates for Democrats on the Democrat side anymore. I think Edwards is out of it. That's Clinton and Obama. Both of them have basically indicated that they would raise taxes. Is my understanding?
No, well, raise taxes on the top 2%. That is
right.
Restore.
But they want to. They both have disavowed the Bush tax cuts and don't intend to extend and make permanent the tax cuts that are already in place. So that's
no,
a tax.
No,
is that,
well, let me clarify that.
Okay.
What I think they're saying is that the middle class tax cuts, which were substantial in both Bush 2001 and 2003, but mainly in 2001, they would keep most of those tax cuts for the middle class and lower income people. So they would keep the lower rates, they keep the extra protections of married couples and the rest, so they don't pay
Would they raise rates on capital gains?
they would raise the rate. They would return the capital gain rate to 20% and return the rate on dividends probably back to the old rate.
Yeah.
So that's a
big tax increase.
Yeah, it is. It's a big tax,
increase on the
people who are paying the most taxes. One of the things that we have to factor in on all this, and we don't really know what the consequences are. I mean, it used to be under the Clinton tax increases that occurred in 1992-93 that the top rate went to 39.6% on dividends and on all earned income, and the top capital gains rate was 20%, and the economy was fabulous. So there isn't any. But I must say that I don't find any clear connection between the tax rates and the strength of the economy. But
yeah.
Coming back to this, it's important for people to understand that, and I tell my liberal friends and my conservative friends, that when you're talking about raising the top rate on the top income earners, the top 1% in 2005, our most recent data from the IRS, they paid 39% of all income taxes.
That's a lot.
I mean, they had almost 20% of all income, and they paid 39% of all income taxes.
So why do we want to tax them more?
Well, that's the question. But if you tax them less, the middle. See, what happens is that there's all this talk about middle income households, however we define them, paying too much. In fact, the average tax rate of the middle quintile, the people that are right in the middle, between 40% and 60%, in 2005, you know what their effective tax rate was?
No.
And this is from the Congressional Budget Office, 3%.
Yeah.
That's after all deductions. The middle quintile, their overall federal tax liability was 14%. So it isn't, you know, that when we don't get informed by all this, but it's a complicated problem because...
John, let's talk. I want to ask you about the Republicans' proposals. Now, none of the Republicans that I know of have talked about lowering taxes. They've talked about, sustaining the Bush tax cuts. Huckabee has said he likes the value-added tax, the national sales tax, which I think is a non-starter, because you can't have that unless you repeal, what is it, the 16th Amendment?
Well, no, you could do it, but I mean, it is a non-starter. Even the National Review, conservative, and as George Will said, Huckabee's proposal will impose enormously higher taxes on the middle class. Because
I agree.
It's a 30% rate on everything you buy. So you go out and buy a car for $10,000 or $20,000, you add 30%. You buy food, you go to the doctor, the accountant, they all add 30% to their bill.
Right.
It is a non-starter. What I actually find, just turning a little bit to the Republicans and away from just their tax policy, I find Republicans talking like big government Democrats. You hear Romney going to Michigan, and he's going to make that the automobile industry...
Well, he clarified that. I heard him clarify that. He said he was talking about $20 billion for the overall economy, not just for Michigan.
Well, $20 billion in a $14 trillion economy may not do much, but
that's not a lot. Listen.
That's the thing about Romney, is that he's clarifying. He has to clarify everything. But I mean, you hear Republicans
quickly, John.
Yes.
I've run out of time. I'm going to get you back real soon. But who's going to be the Democrat nominee?
Well, it's really a toss-up between Hillary.
Quickly,
and,
no, I know that. I know that. Quickly, who's your choice? Who's going to be?
Well, I'm actually for the candidate of hope. I think judgment is more important
than
your
Obama.
Experience. And so I would pick Barack, because I think he offers the
who's
best
gonna
hope.
Be the, who's going to be the Republican?
I think Romney will be.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's got the money in the country.
Hey, John, thanks for being...
Interesting race.
Thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
John Fox, ladies and gentlemen. Always fun when John joins us. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.